My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. All right, let's take a trip back through yesterday's game, Astros. They beat the Blue Jays 3-0. Key part of the game early was when Hunter Brown, man, it looked like the old Hunter Brown was creeping in a little bit. Bases loaded, one out. He gets a pop-up and a strikeout to get out of the inning. Then he was off to the races after that. Here was Joe Espada following the game. Talking about Brown working out of trouble.
Yeah, stay calm and trust your stuff, trust your defense, trust your game planning, and he's done that. You know, those are the moments during a game and during a season when you see a young pitcher turning a corner where, you know what, I got my stuff, I got good defense, there's no reason to panic, let me just execute my pitches. And that's the difference between Hunter Brown and the one that we kind of saw in struggle earlier in the season.
It's really, it's Seth, you can make a case that Hunter Brown was literally the worst starting pitcher in baseball early in the season. Like, remember he had an outing where he gave up like 9 runs in an inning. It was insane.
Yeah.
He had a 10 ERA early in the season. Like, not after one start, like after a handful of starts, he had a 10 ERA. He was, I guarantee you on this show, you and I talked about flirting with the idea of sending him to Sugarland to work things out. It would be a logical thing to have talked about. He is literally the best pitcher in the American League now over his last 7 starts.
Oh, yeah, over his last 7 starts and in the last 5 games, he's just allowed 1 run. He's been magnificent. Steve Sparks was on the TV broadcast before the game during the Canada Day delay. It wasn't a rain delay. It was a Canada Day festivities delay, apparently. They're operating on European time up there.
Yeah.
And Sparks was talking about just like, you know, adding the sinker, it's not that he has a great sinker in and of itself, but it just keeps hitters honest. And it's allowed him to just do all the other things he does with more aggression. And you've seen it. It's just been, he's been more aggressive. He's been it's somebody like he's walking into a barroom brawl when he gets up there on the mound. And that's the most like obvious to the naked eye part of it. Ignore all the mechanics, ignore pitch selection, anything else. It's like he's going up there and he wants to kill people. And that's been really cool to see. Is there's an attack mode with Hunter Brown. So yeah, I mean, he's fun to watch. The getting out of that jam in the second inning when the bases were loaded, you're just seeing that more and more out of him, that he's matured in a lot of ways and that he can handle. You know what I've noticed with him is he's able to let go of the frustration of bad umpiring. in some of the questionable calls, especially on days where he's had some days where in this last five game stretch where he's been painting the corners perfectly, but the ump isn't seeing it that way. And it hasn't affected him emotionally. So just the emotional stability for a young pitcher like that, it's a very promising sign.
Yep. Fast forward to the top of the fifth inning. The Astros at this point are getting perfect gamed by Rodriguez, the starting pitcher for Toronto.
Well, and sometimes Rodriguez is going to perfect game you, Sean.
It happens,
all,
man.
You know,
yeah,
it happens.
At least for four and a third or whatever until Pena did this.
In the jury, oh, that ball's drilled deep to left field. There's the first base runner. There's the first run. JP3 crushes one to left, and the Astros get in front 1-0 on a solo home run into the back of the Blue Jays bullpen.
You know what? It looked like a hanging breaking ball there, but we have never seen him. He's like 5 or 6 pitch mix. So when you go up there looking for a plant, he threw the cutter away from our righties in their hands on the lefties, mixes stuff, really well. And we grind it. And Jeremy kind of, with that swing, kind of, let us relax there a little bit.
Yeah, that was big, man. That was big. That was a meatball. that was ripe to be hit out of the park. Pena smoked that thing.
I mean, he's been so much better since he took that day off Friday a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the power still, you're still waiting for that power from his rookie year or the playoffs specifically to emerge, and that's hopefully a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. This may be who he is. Like that playoff.
That's, yeah.
That playoff was such an outlier for him, not just in power, but in all respects.
Yeah.
Not that it haunts him or anything like that, but I think sometimes we tend to think of that and that's going to be Pena. Pena, if this is who Pena is, what he's been so far this year, then I'm cool with Jeremy Pena. He's elite fielder and he's solid at the plate. He doesn't hurt you at the plate. All right, to the bottom of the six we go. Hunter Brown's still out on the mound. And at this point, you're feeling good because, all right, a day after you just used 7 relievers to get through a game against the Mets, you needed your starting pitcher to do what Hunter did yesterday. That's what made the second inning so scary too, Seth, when he loaded the bases. Was like, oh, crap. It's not just that he's loading the bases, he might give up some runs. It's his pitch count is getting up into the 40s in the second inning, And it's like, man, is it going to be one of these early season Hunter Brown starts where he gets yanked after 3 or 4 innings because he can't keep from throwing 90 pitches in 3 or 4 innings? So he settled in, and his best inning was his last inning, and that's a sign of an ace. He strikes out the side. Here was Joe Espada.
Yeah, he started getting some quicker outs there in the middle of the game. The sinker and just the explosiveness of his pitches. It's a very uncomfortable at bat. And when you have that kind of stuff, hitters go up there swinging early, trying to get the best pitch they can early in the count, and that's when you start getting some off-balance swings, some quick outs, and again, we needed a start like that from Hunter, and he was able to deliver it.
Yep, I thought Espada laid that out well. That was an impressive inning by Hunter Brown, that sixth inning, striking out the side to close things out.
Yeah.
So Hunter gives you 6 shutout innings. Now, it was mostly good yesterday. I mean, the hitting wasn't great, obviously, but they did enough. Brian Abreu now, this is 2 outings in a row where he has been kind of dancing with the devil a little bit. He gave up the 2-run home run to tie the game on Sunday against the Mets. He was bad. And then yesterday, look, I know he didn't give up any runs, but he loaded the bases and the 2 outs that he got to get out of the inning were 2 smoke shots. I mean, they were line drives. They were hard hit balls. He was able to get out of it. Here was his spot of talking about getting out of the 8th.
Huge. He's huge. You could get him. You could have him against the ropes, but he's going to figure out a way to get people out. That's just Brian. He's so good. His stuff is so explosive. He's got a way to stay calm, compose, execute the pitches when he needs to, and he got out of that.
I don't expect Espada to well actually it and say, but they were line drive, 120 mile an hour velo or whatever they were. Brian.
That felt a little bit almost, I felt like that was almost like back to the Jose Abreu days in terms of like, oh, yeah, Abreu,
that's
he's just going to get up there and boy. Yeah. He's just been a machine all year long.
Yeah. Brian's going to figure out a way. Like, yeah, he's going to make sure those line drives get hit right at a guy.
He's figured out ways to do things in a very interesting fashion. It did more times than usual this year.
Yeah, then the line drive to third was Springer. So, I mean, that was, you know, that was Springer hit the ball hard a few times yesterday, man.
Yeah.
I mean, two of them were for outs, one right at Bregman and then the one to center field. But his first at bat, he got a hit, stole a base. And then, yeah, to get out of that bases loaded jam, line drive to Bregman by Springer, and then Varsho smoked one to second base to Dubon. Like, either of those, they were hit hard enough to be hits. But anyways, they got out of it, get to the top of the ninth. And then you get what you need. You get some insurance runs thanks to Yordan Alvarez.
One other runner reached scoring position. Yordan sends one to center. Varsho, the new center fielder, all the way back at the wall. He'll leap up. It is gone. Home run. Yordan Alvarez goes the other way over the left center field wall. And there are the insurance runs for the Astros. It's now 3-0.
You know, those insurance runs actually end up playing difference in the game. But you know, I thought they actually pitched pretty good. Their starter was, you know, it was really good stuff. Cutters, sinkers kind of kept us off balance. Big swing by Jeremy. And then, you know, Yordan, big two-run homer there for those insurance run that make the difference.
Yordan, who, by the way, is we talked about earlier, apparently he's not all that excited about the prospect of doing the home run derby.
Good.
So
Sean
doesn't want
Yordan there.
Sean wants Yordan to keep doing the thing he did yesterday.
Yes,
more so than anything else in the world.
Anything else, literally. Yes.
Well, because so of the guys who were absent for the first part of the season. I mean, it was pretty much every awesome Astros hitter, whether they were hitting well or not, wasn't doing it in the seventh through ninth inning. And these late run surges, or these late inning surges, certainly not any come. There were no come from behind wins after the seventh inning. We've seen more and more of this over the last several weeks. I think that's over the last 2 weeks. That's the most promising thing of all of this. It's stuff that you should expect of these guys by the back of their baseball card and what have you. This is more like the Astros on paper.
Yeah.
The Astros that had people outside the city of Houston weren't freaking out as much. Even people who like would want to see the Astros fail weren't counting the Astros out when they were down so far, even as recently as a few weeks ago. And this is kind of just where the pendulum swings back, hopefully. You got to extend it on for another half the season here.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
They've got an update on the All-Star voting. at those three positions we talked about earlier that the Astros have guys involved in the runoff. Yordan is in a dogfight right now with Ryan O'Hearn of the Orioles.
Yeah.
As of right now, voting closes tomorrow. 51?
They have an awakened fan base there in Baltimore.
Yeah, they got six guys into runoffs in this thing.
They've got guys. They've got all the fervor of the newbies.
Yes.
So this is who you, all of you listening who vote or will vote, just know he's in it now with Ryan O'Hearn, and these Baltimore Orioles fans have emerged from the woodwork.
Right.
And they're coming out in force.
They're getting out to their local precincts and voting. We got to
get
out and vote.
Again.
Yeah, they're hungry.
Right now, our all-star fan, our all-star voting fan base,
a little complacent,
is they haven't awakened the way the Astros have.
No.
You have to get back on your internet. Dust off your old laptop, open it up, and vote for Yordan.
51% to 49% right now. Yordan's winning. Yordan's winning, but by just 2 percentage points.
To go back to Abreu.
Yeah.
Abreu's got 40 and one-third innings pitched so far this year.
Yep.
He's never pitched more than 72 innings in a year.
Okay.
Last year being that year. Mm-hmm. So he's on pace for more than that right now. They gave him that big layoff before this weekend, that maybe and now with everybody playing better, hopefully they just don't need to use him as much once we get out of this stretch of only having four pitchers.
You know, it's so funny. When you have a team that's wasting so much money, like the Astros are right now, on things like paying Abreu, the other Abreu, Jose Abreu, to go away, paying numerous pitchers to rehab Tommy John surgeries of various sorts, paying guys on the IL who are making a lot of money. You know, this team is paying people like nearly $100 million to not work for them right now.
Yeah.
How do you cut corners? You get Brian Abreu $1.75 million in arbitration this past year, and he's the most used, he's the most utilized reliever in the sport, literally.
Yeah.
Like nobody pitches more than him, you know, so that's how you cut the corners sometimes with stuff like that. By the way, the other two positions for the All-Star game, Kyle Tucker is not going to make the All-Star team, at least not as a starter. There's one outfield position already sewn up because Aaron Judge was the leading vote getter in the American League. The leading vote getter gets a spot automatically. So there's two other spots open. Kyle Tucker's in last place right now in the runoff. He, Juan Soto first, Stephen Kwan of the Guardians second. He's having a great season. Ryan Santander, Anthony Santander, however he pronounces it, with the Orioles, 26%. And then Kyle Tucker, 16%. I think it's an out-of-sight, out-of-mind thing, Seth. Kyle Tucker way behind these other three. Just out-of-sight, out-of-mind.
Well, he's just kind of fallen off on the, you know, early in the season when he was better than Juan Soto in a lot of respects and Aaron Judge. And, like, they were neck and neck in a lot of regards.
Counting
like,
stats,
Yeah, you miss this long a stretch of time, and you're gonna miss out on the counting stats.
Yep. Altuve has a comfortable lead over Marcus Semien. I feel good about that one. 56% to 44% right now for Jose Altuve.
Yeah, that would take a hell of a surge there.
Yeah, yep. So if I had to guess, Altuve gets in. I would guess Yordan will get in as well, although that one is close. As you point out, these Oriole fans are nuts. They're crazy for their guys. So there you go. That's where we
stand. The other thing you should feel good about as we approach the All-Star game is that the Yankees currently stink. So there's that too.
That feels good.
They can't pitch their way out of a paper bag. It's just a mess. Just a mess up there in New York. It's sad, really. You know, when they've celebrated so many fictitious championships in the first half of various seasons over the last few years.
Yeah.
And now here we are again. I kind of hope they make the playoffs, though. There's a 99% chance that they do, unless they just continue playing the way they have over the last couple of weeks. I do relish the thought of another Yankees World Series in which they're not nearly as good as, or excuse me, another Yankees playoff series versus the Astros in which they're not as good as they were in the first half of the season.
Dude, if you're the Astros or you're an Astro fan, you want the Yankees in the playoffs. The Astros are their daddy. Yeah, for sure. Back-to-back text. We read this one earlier. Is LeBron the new Jack Easterby? No one wants to play for the Lakers. Then a subsequent text from another texter points out that the Lakers hiring J.J. Redick almost feels like if the Texans had hired Josh McCown.
Oh.
I think LeBron has a little more. I think LeBron clearly has more Easter Bee in him than Jeff Bagwell does. I don't think Jeff Bagwell has any Easter Bee in him at all. You know, like he's just.
No.
He's just. He was just part of some bad decisions, you
know? The big thing with Bagwell being connected to Easter Bee at all, I hate doing it because they're just different people in so many ways. Bagwell for the better. But it's that. Is it a guy who's been elevated to a position for which he's not qualified? You know, that's the big question. Because that was the issue with Easterby. They loved him up in New England as a character coach. They did not love him as an interim GM. They did not love him as a director of team development or vice president of whatever the hell he was. That's not what the Patriots loved Jack Easterby as.
Mm-mm.
Jack Easterby came here and was elevated like 19 pay grades above where he had established himself.
Yeah.
So Bagwell, we love as a baseball player. We love for his hijinks at times back in the day. You know, not anymore. He's just he's a different guy now.
Yep.
But is he necessarily qualified to be making decisions like, hey, Abreu's the guy we need to get on this team?
Yeah.
And more importantly, standby through thick and through thin.
Yeah. I think he's qualified to give input. He's a really smart former baseball player. It's just he gave input on the worst decision that this franchise has made.
Well, yeah,
in this title run here.
Well, and that always in both situations with the Texans and the Astros, that comes back to the owner, you know, because if the person that you think is damaging the team has the ability to damage the team because he has the ear of the owner at some point, then that's on the owner, you know? Mm-hmm. And the McNairs probably wish they'd never met Jack Easterby. But they rectified the situation. Sometime right around when Lovie Smith got hired, Jack Easterby started to just be a little less visible.
Yeah.
If that is a...
And start waving his arms. I got an opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one thing that Lovie Smith will probably never be fully appreciated for. I do think that he had an ability to kind of be the wise older man who'd seen it all and can see things for what they are.
Yeah.
And I think there was some part of Lovie Smith's influence that got Jack Easterby kicked into the third row seat of the station wagon.
Yes, for everybody ready to build a statue for Lovie because the end of that Colts game.
Yes.
You might have the wrong thing to build the statue for in the power rankings, you know?
He put Jack Easterby in the rear-facing seat of the station wagon and told him to wear a mask so he didn't have to be embarrassed that his kid was Jack Easterby by the motorists behind him.
And then finally got to, like, Topeka, Kansas on the road trip and said, why are we doing this?
Sometimes
divorce is a good thing. And then just kicked them out of the back of the station wagon.
Hey, sometimes child abandonment's the right thing for everybody.
Sometimes divorcing your child is a good thing. Yeah.
You know, sometimes divorce is a good thing.
Thank you, Lovie. You know what? I do. There's parts of Lovie Smith.
That was another great part.
Yeah.
That was another great part of the Lovie Smith.
No doubt.
The popularization of sometimes divorce is a good thing.
Power ranking the divorces. Yes, that was always fun. All right. We got a name that you can cross off the list if you're a Rocket fan looking for star power. You can cross this name off the list. Just happened a couple of minutes ago. We'll tell you who it is coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.